Hey, welcome to the film podcast. Yeah, and now another thing to learn. Now we're not the List Film Podcast. We're the List Podcast.
Podcast.
Do you even know what your podcast is called?
We're the Film Podcast now.
Nice.
Officially.
That's why I couldn't find you on Facebook. I was like, where did you go?
Yeah, that's why.
And your link on your website needs to be updated.
Yes.
Okay.
I do.
All right. I wasn't going crazy then.
No.
All right.
I got to do that tonight, actually.
Okay.
Just bought the domain. Everything's good.
Right.
So if you want to reach us, our new website is thefilmpodcast. That's it. .com.
Did you dump the old one?
The other one, I forwarded it.
Okay.
So officially, we are the film podcast. But if you type in the List Film Podcast, it'll take you to the same place. Don't worry. Welcome, everybody.
Listeners,
good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. We are usually four hosts talking about movies, arguing, fighting. It's usually myself, Jenny, Adam, Kevin.
And today it's just Ricardo. We're just the voices in his head.
Yeah. it's myself, Ricardo, and
Adam Scott.
And we have a friend joining us today.
Vito Viscuso.
That's right, dude.
That's me.
It's got a good ring to it, too.
Yeah, right?
Do you have a middle name?
Do I what?
Have a middle name?
Michael.
See, Vito, if it was Michael. V, you'd be triple V.
It would be
triple threat.
But I'm VMV.
Yeah.
See, it's got a little ring to it, too.
And both the Godfathers, the good ones.
Yeah. I know.
It's
I know.
A very cinematic name.
Thank you.
Vito Michael Viscuso is
That's right.
Jack Reacher.
In that lower range. yes.
How cool would it be if you had three names and then you were in a movie called by a name? It's like Vito Michael Viscuso
is. Seymour Hoffman is Capote.
Yeah. Or is Michael Clee. It's got two names. So let's talk a little bit about you real quick.
Okay.
How do we meet? We really didn't meet until you did sound for my movie.
One of
my movies.
Yeah.
I wrote and produced.
Correct.
Didn't direct.
Yes. That was Laps, right?
Yes.
Laps.
Yeah. And then you did sound for my movie that I directed.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah. That's how we met.
So you know about sound. So you're like, it sounds really tinny in here, guys.
Yeah. I was like, boy, I need to get a different mic in here. Otherwise, this film is not going anywhere.
So thanks for joining us.
Sure. Thank you for inviting me.
That's your forte, sound.
Well,
you're a man of many hats.
I am a man of many hats. Yeah. Sound is just one of them.
Yeah.
It became, for a period of time, became really kind of what I focused on for a while, but then now not so much anymore.
Yeah.
But
I've seen you write. You've acted in a couple things.
I've acted in a couple things, yes.
You've acted in a couple things I've done.
Yes.
I've had you play Fultard on my short.
No holding back.
Yeah. No, I'm serious.
That's
I'm not joking around.
Never go full retard.
That's why I didn't win any kind of award. Because I went full retard.
Yeah.
Yes.
So thank you for
and
that.
And there's lots of people writing you right now.
Going, I know.
I hate this podcast.
I know, you fucking assholes. No, hey. We love everybody.
Yes, we do.
Our podcast is for the smart and the dumb.
I apologize right now.
You're saying retarded people are dumb?
No.
For offending anybody.
Normal people are dumb. Okay. No, we love everybody. And movies are for everybody.
Yes.
Done and done. We're done insulting those people.
And we didn't mean to insult.
No, we didn't mean to insult them. Now we're on to insult, not meaning to insult another type of person. let's move on. So let's talk about movies we've seen. Anything you guys have seen in theaters? Anything? What's going on? I literally just got out of the theater.
You should probably.
Yeah, you started.
I'll go first. Yeah. I saw Silver Lining Playbook.
Okay.
Oh.
I saw that also.
Okay, so what did you think?
I loved it. I thought it was great.
Yeah. Vito, did you see that?
I have not seen it. It's on the list to see, though.
Well, we always do spoiler-free talk.
Gotcha.
Pillow talk.
Got it.
I just picture an interview like us just sitting there with Bradley Cooper. So yeah.
Pillow talk.
How's
we're,
it going?
We're in pajamas.
Yeah.
We're in onesies.
Yeah.
Like, but really tough with skulls and bones.
Right.
And stuff, you know? Come on.
If I would have known that was the attire for the evening, I would have worn something different. But no.
Something with silk.
Well, it was just Black Friday, so I'm waiting for my Sam Crow onesie to show up.
Yeah. There you go. So I enjoyed it a lot.
I
like it a lot.
I think I can say that it's one of my favorites of the year.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yeah.
I I still have to revisit some stuff and watch some stuff that I haven't seen. So I haven't seen Lincoln, which you did.
I have seen Lincoln, yes.
That's on the list for me as well.
I prefer Silver Linings Playbook.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm.
That's very interesting.
Okay. Should I even watch Lincoln?
Lincoln's... Okay, well, so Savannah and I saw Lincoln.
Your girlfriend?
My girlfriend. Mm-hmm. She did not like Lincoln.
No.
Oh. She said it was worse than War Horse.
What?
Really?
Yes.
She said it was worse than War of the Worlds?
No. War...
Maybe. I don't know. I don't... And that one's got Tom Cruise in it, so probably not.
He's pretty pimping that. Yeah, I want to see that, but I did see the silver, like I said, the silver line. Whoop, that was me. Sorry, guys. I didn't turn my phone off.
Whoa.
Party foul.
Is Jake Hoyle sending me a message.
Nice.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. I just have to rewatch a lot of stuff to see if it's going to make my top 10, but I really, really enjoyed it. And I thought the only problem I had in the trailer, which cleared up in the movie, was Jennifer Lawrence. She's really way too young for Bradley Cooper, you know? But I felt like, it worked.
That seems to kind of be her go-to thing at this point, playing...
Older.
Playing the love interest to older dudes.
Yeah. Well, but she's very mature for her age, so I totally... She, at no point, as soon as I started watching the movie and she came in, I was like, at no point was I like, no, this doesn't work. No, it just worked. She's an amazing actress too, and
this movie revalidated her Oscar nomination for me. I was like, okay, yeah, I see it again.
Oh, I thought she was a little bit of Streisand when I saw her in The Hunger Games, but now after this, I'm like, you know what? I'm a fan. I want to see more of her.
Yeah, I saw interviews so far about this movie, and the director's talking about how much more mature she is. Excuse me.
Sorry.
Just dropping the ball all over the place.
I know. I'm sorry, guys.
They talk about how, she is. She can play so much older. You know, she comes across much older than what she really
does.
Is.
She does.
So I'm interested to see that. So.
Yeah. And I really enjoyed her in Winter's Bone. And
Winter's Bone. Yeah. I thought she was great. Yeah.
So it's a good movie. Recommended. Everybody was great. Everybody in the cast was amazing. It rekindled my love for De Niro. For a while, I was like, dude, you're kind of just, what are you doing, man? And then, like, this one, I was like, okay, he's back.
Yeah,
okay.
De Niro's great. Chris Tucker is great.
Really?
Surprisingly, really. I mean, not very, surprisingly,
very subdued.
But a different, I'm very different Chris Tucker.
Oh, wow.
He's not Smokey. He's not Ruby Rod.
No.
He's a very different character, and he's really funny, but very subtly funny. And I think it's great.
Yeah.
Jackie Weaver is amazing.
I forgot she was British, right? She's Australian? Australian, yeah.
She's in the movie that Brian reviewed that I still haven't seen yet with Guy Pearce about the Australian crime family.
Oh, yeah. Someone's yelling at the thing.
Brian's probably yelling at the thing.
Yeah, he's like, that's how I imagine Brian. Like, to me, Brian's like the penguin. But anyway, what else? Did anybody see anything else in theaters, Vito? I saw you Skype.
Animal Kingdom. Sorry.
Animal Kingdom. That was it. Yeah. She's amazing in that. And she's
much
amazing
faster. You have a bigger screen than I do.
I saw you tweeted. I said Skype earlier, but you tweeted you saw Skyfall.
No. Actually, it was a joke tweet.
You didn't see
it was a joke tweet. Yeah. Karen actually tweeted that.
Your girlfriend.
Yes, my girlfriend. Tweeted that she was taking me to James Bond, Skyfall, and somehow we got into Twilight. And so I saw Twilight.
Wow. Oh.
Yes. Are you okay?
I'm recovering, yes. Okay. Yeah, yeah. I have to admit, it was, it was pretty bad.
Like, really?
I want to say, like, I was going to say you need a hug, but I feel like it's the opposite. Like, do you need someone to punch you?
Yeah, yeah. I need somebody to really kind of hit me right in the face
with
it. Yeah. I mean, it was... There was a lot of stillness. You might actually like it.
But not the good kind.
But not the good kind.
A lot of stillness on people's faces.
Emotional exactly. Stillness.
Unmoving.
Yeah. If you like to see stares and people just really staring at each other, emoting, kind of.
Emoting, kind of.
The opposite of emoting.
You can only long for so long. Yeah.
I actually will say this. I like Kristen Stewart better in this one than I have in any of them.
So you've seen all of them?
I have. We actually, my girlfriend and I actually made a point to, like, go see all of them.
Really?
Yeah, because we got into it late. We were already into, like, it was already the third or fourth film.
You're like, hey, we got to catch up on this.
Yeah, we're like, we got to catch up. Yeah, we're like, wait, let's see how bad all this is. And the first one was so bad. We were like, we got to go back and see them.
See, Michelle, my girlfriend, she read the books and she saw the first one, I think. That's the only one she's seen, I think. Mm-hmm. And she kind of gave me the gist of it, and like she kind of would give me the gist in the books. Like, oh, this lady's kind of, she's a Mormon, I think, right?
Stephanie Myers.
Yeah. And she kind of gave me the gist of what the theme of the books were. And I'm like, you know what? I'm interested. And I pride myself as an American to not have seen these movies.
Right.
Yeah. I've got out of this. Whatever quadrilogy, whatever this is,
what?
Unscathed.
What is it? Is it four? Five movies.
Five movies.
Technically, it's four, right?
Technically, it's four, but they split it up into two parts.
That's
right?
A new thing now with everything.
Yeah.
Like The Hobbit is going to be like that.
That way you can continue on, yeah.
The Hunger Games is going to be like that, too.
Is it really? Yeah. I thought it was just going to be three.
Like the last book?
Yeah.
Really? Oh, so it would be four movies instead of three?
Yeah. There you go. Got
to get that box office.
Yeah. So we're really hurting, guys. We need this box office.
Please. Have you seen the box office lately? Hey,
yeah. It's going to pay off really well when they finally just completely adapt the Bible.
Yeah. And it's a 11 movie.
And they can split like the longer books into three movies. The longer books were a trilogy. Like Revelations, that's a trilogy right there.
Yeah.
Right.
First and Second Samuel, that's like eight movies.
Yeah.
Well, at least. It'll be eight and then a two-parter at the end.
Yeah. I haven't seen that. So you haven't seen Skyfall?
I have not seen Skyfall.
Do yourself a favor. Go see Skyfall.
I want to go see Skyfall. Yeah, that's on the list.
I feel like you should have seen that right afterwards, like mental floss.
Well, we should have just walked into the theater without even paying for it. Just go in. Yeah, and we technically paid for a good movie, and we didn't get one, so we should just go to Skyfall.
You should have paid for Skyfall and snuck into Breaking Dawn.
Yes. Give it a box office to Skyfall.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd want to bring down my high off of Skyfall, though.
Well, no. You just pay and be like, oh, we're just going to wait in the lobby, and then you go into the other movie first.
Got it.
Yeah. So you give your money to the good movie.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And it's also palate cleanser, you know?
It is. It's like ginger. It's like
ginger and sushi.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Nice little wafer-thin cracker.
That's right.
Anything else, Adam, that you saw?
What else did I see? I saw The Life of Pi.
Oh, I'm very interested in seeing that movie.
How was that?
Well, apparently I have no soul because I didn't really care for it at all.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah, I was... have you seen Cloud Atlas?
No, I have not seen Cloud Atlas and didn't really have an inkling to...
See, both of those movies are on the same level for me based on the trailer alone. Like, I saw both of those trailers. I'm like, all right, I see what they're going for, and I'm not the audience for this movie, and I'm probably not going to like either of them.
I don't like pie.
But I was kind of... Well, I like pie, like apple pie.
Okay,
but I don't like math. So, not. I mean, there's math in Life of Pi, but that's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
But both of these movies are like the whole spiritual, touchy feely, like finding purpose in life and whatnot. And it's like both of them to me are like Chicken Soup for the Soul, but the filmic version of that.
No.
Oh, okay.
And so I was not interested in either of them, but somehow I saw both of them. And I'd want nothing to do with either of them, really.
Yeah.
But again, I have a dark recess where my heart is supposed to be, so...
Now, did you see it in 3D?
No, I don't see 3D movies.
Oh.
I gave up.
Only if a movie's called 3D. Just 3D the movie.
That's it. Yeah. And it's not shown in 2D at all.
Yeah. It's just called 3D the movie.
Right.
Because
it's supposed to be amazing.
Yeah.
James Cameron's behind it saying this is the best use of 3D ever. Even more than Avatar.
Really?
No, I don't know if he said that, but that's his enthusiasm.
It sounds like something you would say.
Right.
I did buy that book, Life of Pi, and then I just let it sit there, and then I convinced my girlfriend to read it.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, meh, the ending kind of meh. And I'm like, all right, I don't need to read the book.
It's a very ambiguous, like if you hate ambiguous endings and you hate movies that look really fake, then you're probably going to hate Life of Pi.
Okay.
Now, the lion in that is CGI.
Yes.
Compared to the wolves in the gray.
Okay, well, compared to the wolves in the gray, this is amazing CGI. But I can still tell that it's a cartoon lion. Like, that's not a real... tiger. Sorry. Okay. Tiger.
I said lion.
Did he bounce on his tail?
No bouncing on the tail, which that's another jip right there. He doesn't sing a song. I mean, if we're going to have a cartoon tiger, he might as well sing a song.
That's right.
All right. Anything else you guys on theaters?
I think that's about it. Yeah, I wanted to see Silver Linings Playbook or Skyfall again.
I want to see Skyfall again. That was such a good movie. It was really fulfilling. And I want to see it like an IMAX. So,
was it better than the first?
Oh, it's better. It's
the best Daniel Craig James Bond movie.
Oh, okay.
For me, it's the best Bond movie ever.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I said it.
Okay. It's out. It's out there in the world.
I do like me like the first Sean Connery Bond, which is Dr. No.
Dr. No.
I'd say it's on par with that. Okay. I'd say.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I don't even think Dr. No is the best Sean Connery Bond.
It's one I enjoy the most.
I'm from Russia with Love.
Really?
Robert Shaw is a villain.
That's true.
And that opening, that twist opening where you think he's already killed James Bond.
But he has.
But he hasn't.
No. Yeah. I enjoy this a lot.
Okay.
I dig it. Did I see anything? I saw Flight. And I saw Red Dawn.
Oh, okay. How is Red Dawn?
Yeah.
I couldn't subject Savannah to that.
Yeah.
Because it's already a guy movie and it's also getting terrible reviews. Yeah. I'm like, I'm not going to do that to you.
Ah, it could have been so good. I'll tell you this, because I'm a huge fan of the original Red Dawn.
Yeah.
Like, huge.
I like the film, too.
Just, like, especially, you know, I loved it as a kid, but even as an adult, I just literally, like, rewatched it after a couple years of not watching that movie. I must have watched it, like, about 4 months ago. It was on Netflix. And I kind of, there was so many levels that I didn't miss. And I'm like, wow, there's some serious acting by Patrick Swayze and Charlie Sheen and C. Thomas Howe. Like, there's some stuff that they're doing that really kind of like, they get this rep for like, oh, these 80s child actors. And they were doing some great work in that movie. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go and say I love everybody's work in that movie. Mm-hmm. And the themes that they were talking about, and it worked for me. I know it's a pro-gun, you know,
conservative movie.
Yeah. But I love that movie. And so going in, I'm like, oh, man, they got okay, I like the casting. I like the director. He directs all the action in movies. And then it just kind of fell flat. And I felt like if the whole movie was like the last 15 seconds of the movie, it would have been amazing. Like the last 15 seconds, like there's a flag being flown and they're like, attacking this camp, and I'm like, yeah, and then the movie ends, and I'm like, that's where the movie should have started. What the fuck's going on?
That's the last 15 seconds of what, an hour and a half movie?
Yeah.
Wow.
So there was really glimpse of like, oh, this movie could have been amazing with this cast.
Right.
But this cast now, not this cast then. Like, I feel like they matured with a couple films, like the guy who plays PETA in Hunger Games, Josh Hutcherson. Chris Hemsworth, who I enjoy in everything, he kind of was, I don't know if it was the directing, it's probably the directing, because the director is an action guy, and not, this is his first feature, so. I really went in wanting to love this movie, and just being like, whatever it is, I'm going to love it, and it was just like, oh, no. Mm. And Flight, did you see Flight?
I haven't seen Flight. Okay, so this is, yes, I didn't like Life of Pi. But we were, because it's screener season right now, so we were joking, like, all right, so whatever movie we see, that's the next screener we're probably going to get.
Yeah.
And so we went into Life of Pi, and then fortunately, because we were going to go see Flight instead, but then we got the Flight screener the next day. So I'm like, cool, we didn't have to go out and pay to see it. And I've heard how cheesy and bad it is, so I'm like, all right, cool, I don't have to go to a theater to sit through something that I'm probably not going to love as much as I would like to.
Yeah. That's how I felt. Like, I wanted to love it, but it's just, like, Denzel's always amazing to me. Right. I always find he's one of the guys that always brings it, no matter what movie he's in. I really enjoyed all the acting from a lot of the cast, like John Goodman. Like, I wanted more of John Goodman's character. Like, why isn't this guy in more?
There's always room for Goodman,
right?
Yeah. Don Cheadle's cool. He's playing a little different.
I like Don Cheadle.
Yeah. And the girl that surprised me was the girl from
Kelly Riley.
No, the Spanish girl from. Jason Lee show.
The Spanish girl from My Name is Earl?
Yes, My Name is Earl.
Oh. There's like a little bit of a rhyme there. I don't know who that is. I don't.
She was amazing, and she chose full frontal, so that doesn't hurt the movie.
That made
at
it
all.
Even more amazing for you?
I was like, all right, I like where this is going, because it starts off with that, and I'm like,
is it
okay.
Nadine Velasquez?
Yes. Oh. She is worth sitting through the 2-hour movie. I'm just saying.
But worth the ticket price?
I'd say wait for DVD. She's not $12 worth. But she's a red box rental.
So back to offending people.
She's worth the gold ticket from Costco for Ramsey. Yeah. Okay, got it.
Because really, that and the plane crash are like really amazing. Mm. And then you're like, oh, no, I gotta
and then
this
the story hits.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's like cheesy and like, yeah. But that's kind of Robert Zemeckis a little bit, you know.
Oh, it's a for some reason I didn't know it was Robert Zemeckis.
Yeah, because it's not motion capture.
Yeah.
Yes. That's correct. Yes. Capture.
And Denzel could just like yell Beowulf.
there wasn't a hoverboard and Marty flying around after the plane.
No. Okay. No romancing the stone. Okay. Nothing like that.
Got it.
But yeah. So there you go. Those are the movies we saw in theaters. Adam, you have a Netflix stream of the week?
Wait, so you want me to do my joke Netflix stream of the week?
Yeah.
Because I don't have a real one.
No.
Okay, so my joke, which I haven't actually watched all of, but my girlfriend was watching it as I was leaving the house on my way here to record this, is Leave It on the Floor.
Wow.
Which is like, it's, I don't even remember, there's a documentary called Paris is Burning about this sort of gay counterculture clubs where they do, like, they're dancing, where, like, they do the voguing. Mm-hmm. And it's like Paris is Burning meets Rent. So it's a musical version of a musical look at this underground gay dance
club
scene.
Wow.
And I mean,
is it funny?
I don't think that it's supposed to be funny.
But it is.
It's got this, it's got a Little Shop of Horrors vibe. Like right away, the first song, I'm like, oh, okay, this is very much like Little Shop of Horrors. I see what they're going for musically. But it's not quite there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big, like, the singers are pretty good. Like, the main singer is pretty good, but the background singers aren't that great. and the arrangements of the music I don't really like. But I was really entertained watching it while she was watching. Like, she was like, I don't know if I can make it through this. I'm like, well, I'm enjoying it, and I didn't even really care about watching it. So, just because it's silly.
Oh, interesting.
It's a different movie. But yeah, that's my jokey.
Is there a drink? Is there a drinking game?
There probably could be.
Yeah.
Anytime someone says, one of the, what was the line? She was like, I can't even remember. It was just full of ridiculously cliched.
Wow. Well, profanity. What is it called again?
Leave It on the Floor.
Leave It on the Floor, yes.
On the floor.
If you like musicals.
Oh, okay. So the opening scene is the guy is on the computer and his mom's knocking on the door and he gets pissed off and says, fuck mama. And she's like, don't fuck mama me. Like she, and that's an exchange of dialogue.
Wow,
nice.
He's like, "Don't fuck mama me, I'll fuck mama you."
Oh wow,
wow.
I believe that's the line.
That's classy.
Nice.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, I'll give another. This isn't a film on Netflix, but it's a TV show that I'm kind of obsessed with right now. It's American Horror Story.
Oh yeah, the first season.
Yes. Have you been watching it? Anybody?
I think I'm about caught up with Asylum. I'm not quite sure. Okay.
I'm obsessed with the show because these are season-long Twilight Zone episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Like really dark Twilight Zone episodes to me.
Right.
The new one, let me just throw some of the things the new, because every season is a different story.
Right. Because they just moved to, okay, it
to,
was in the house the first season.
This is an Asylum.
I watched only like the first three episodes the first season. It just didn't jive with my schedule, so I didn't see it.
It's on
Netflix now, so there you go.
Well, now I can be obsessed with that instead of Walking Dead, now that I'm caught up with that.
And this is the element involved in this new show. Nazis, aliens, ghost, the devil.
Wow.
Just in the second season.
And zombies. And creatures.
Creatures. And a serial killer, by the way.
And a serial killer. And nuns.
Yes.
Oh, nuns. That's the billboard I see all the time with the black eye. Not the black eye, like she's been punched, but the tar.
Creepy, bleeding black eyes.
Yeah. And
crazy people.
Yes.
Because it's in an asylum.
Yes.
Right.
And they got a pinhead. They have a pinhead, really? Like from Freaks. I was like, that's amazing.
Yep. The show is amazing. And just when I wrote off Ryan Murphy, he pulled me right back in. I'm a fan again. I used to love Ryan Murphy. Then he made Glee, and I was upset with him.
Sometimes you have to pull away from what you're good at and just relax with something different to come back to something really good.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I like that. I forgave him for Glee. The show will be canceled in a couple of years, and we'll be fine. We'll forget. We'll laugh about it. Remember Ryan? Remember Ryan when you were in doing musicals? But anyway, go check out both Leave It on the Dance Floor. What is it
called? Leave It on the Floor.
Leave It on the Floor and American Horror Stories. Netflix Dreams of the Week.
Which is what you might want to do with a DVD. Just leave it on the floor.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Should we get into the list? This week we're talking about, if you haven't looked down at your iPod or your iPhone, we're talking about disaster movies.
Oh, shit. We are? I thought we were doing movies about movies.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. Go ahead. No, I got disaster movies.
I'm sorry.
he'll have his list ready to go in like 2 seconds.
No,
yeah, it's no problem.
No, yeah, that was my confusion.
Sorry. Oh,
I confused Adam. Sorry,
I understood what it was all about.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, since you're our guest, why don't you start us off?
Okay.
Well, why don't I go first? That way, Adam could go last, and he has some time
to
catch
up.
That'd
be amazing.
All right.
Going clockwise. Now, Vito, how did you do your list?
Painstakingly, actually, it was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be because I felt disaster films, they cover such a wide range of, I mean, because originally I thought, oh, disaster, like Earthbound,
yeah,
like huge.
Oh, no.
And then I started thinking, no, there's tons of little ones, you know, like.
There's subgenres, like sub-genre. Alien invasion.
Right, alien invasion.
Pandemics.
Right.
Earth stuff, like earthquakes.
Right.
Tidal waves.
Right.
Then there's like pandemics. And right. Then there's. So, did you do kind of like just a little bit of everything?
I did a little bit of everything because I was like, I should have texted you because I was going to text you and then I didn't. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to throw everything in there.
Yeah.
Because there were so many movies that I started thinking of where I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, that fits in this category too. And I thought of that as an epidemic, you know, as like a disaster film anyway.
Yeah.
I see that as a disaster film. And, you know, of course, I've got some on the list. I'm like, I don't know if they're going to be like, that's not a disaster film. Get out of here.
I feel like, no, I think everything is going to play. I try to pick one of each thing. Like just.
I tried, yeah.
A little flavor of everything. So, yeah, I try to stay away from dystopian future just because maybe the disaster caused the dystopian future. But I want to do that as its own category later. So.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So I stayed away from that. Kind of. But all right, let me see what my number
All right, you start it off.
I'll start off. My number five is, oh man, I feel like
I just want to point out I'm the only one with paper here.
No. You're like old timey.
Yeah, no, we're all in the 21st century.
Yeah, I know.
You brought
that showing too
a
much
scroll?
My age. Yeah, I did. Yeah. I was going to roll it up and I just didn't.
The king said he loves Twister.
But underneath that paper I have my iPhone, so I'm ready to go.
All right. My number five, I did an alien movie for my number five, and I picked Independence Day.
Oh,
what is it on your list?
Yeah, that's on my list.
What is it? Because we'll talk about it. Make that your number five, and then that way we'll be in sync.
Okay, but then can I reorganize?
Is
okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, that's my number four.
Okay.
Independence Day.
All right. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Did you see this in theaters?
Yes, I originally saw this in theaters. Yeah,
I saw it twice in theaters.
Really?
Really? I was really into like. I was really into Will Smith at the time.
Oh, yeah, I was too.
I remember going on AOL and like trying to download the QuickTime video, like all the early stuff. And like, it took like an hour. And
oh, yeah.
Just to watch like the White House blow. I'm like, that was amazing.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'm going to watch it again. And then had a buffer again.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
What is AOL, by the way? Some people are like, what's AOL?
Well, yeah, I don't even know what that is.
AOL? But yeah, I love this movie.
It's great.
It's Roland Emmerich. I remember when this movie came out. I was also when I saw the preview. I'm like, the fly is in this? The dude who's the fly?
Right, right. Yeah, Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah,
yeah.
But yeah. So and this is director Roland Emmerich, who then went on to do a lot of disaster movies. Like he did Day After Tomorrow, 2012.
Oh.
So he's kind of into that thing. And I also remember that. Another reason I was really pumped for this is because I was obsessed with Universal Soldier because it had Van Damme.
Yeah, I was big into action.
Roland Emmerich directed that, and he had directed Stargate before that, which I really enjoyed.
Stargate, yeah, I love Stargate.
So Independence Day, what did you love about this, Vito?
I loved the whole. I remember when it came out, it was like they were destroying the White House, and it was like a big deal.
Yeah,
it was like the president had to go see it. And make sure everything was copacetic with the film.
Yeah.
And there was so much kind of controversy and
which was weird because you're like, Now they do it all the time.
Yeah,
there's a movie called White House Down coming out next year.
White House Down. Right, exactly. But I just like the energy of the film. I thought, you know, I was a big Will Smith fan at the time as well.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I was just really excited because the idea of having seeing some of the early footage, like we just talked about, of the huge ships over the cities and all the little ships, because this was this before or after Stargate?
This was right after Stargate.
Right after Stargate.
Yeah.
So we had seen a little bit of that in Stargate.
Yeah.
And I was really jazzed about Stargate. So when I saw that Independence Day was coming out, I was thinking, oh, man, if that's anywhere close to what I saw in Stargate, I'm going to love it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Thousands of those ships flying around. And so I was just jazzed about it because I just liked the feel and the way it looked, the cinematography and everything about it. So, and I thought it was a good cast.
And I feel like with all of Roland Emmerich's movies, they have a bit of like cheesy, like he makes new versions of B movies, like 50s B movies.
Right.
This had a little bit of that.
Yeah.
It was like, it's almost like a B movie.
Right.
But it's really modernized and it was alien invasion and it's really cool because you saw a lot of, you know, like the White House in LA. And so it was really cool. And the effects, I just recently rewatched this on Laserdisc.
Oh. Laserdisc.
Yeah.
Wow. Pulling out the big disc.
Yeah. We watched it. Adam was here too, I think, for 4th of July. We watched this.
Mm.
I think you left to watch fireworks.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we were watching. I was here for Jaws and then we went to watch fireworks.
Yeah. But Independence Day, fun. It still holds up for me.
Yeah. It's got its
cheesiness.
Cheesiness to it, but the cheesiness is built into the story. And like Will Smith was still kind of new at the time.
Yeah.
So and
it's got some good actors too to lend it some like Judd Hirsch is in this.
Judd Hirsch, funny as hell. Yeah. And
Randy Quaid.
What's his name? A singer. Randy Quaid is awesome in this.
Aaliyah?
No,
Harry Connick Jr.
That's
Harry Connick Jr. is in this, and that's one of his very first roles after the one with Sigourney Weaver.
Copycat.
Yeah.
So he was creepy in that.
He was really creepy, and so you know he was kind of cheesy as well.
Yeah.
You know, in moments. So, yeah, it was just great. It was just fun.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm excited. I want to watch it again now. So that is my number five, and that is your number four.
That's my number four.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So what is your number five?
My number five, this one just kept coming back into my mind. So I thought, okay, I got to put it on it was definitely in my top 10 and I moved it down into my five. Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
Cause that's
zombie
apocalypse type thing. And I just
I'm in the process of making my list as we're talking, and I feel like I've had it. I think I used it before.
I think I did too.
But it should be on this list.
Yeah.
But you've already got it, so I'm just gonna. That makes my job a little bit easier.
It's a disaster.
It's a disaster film,
and it's a romantic comedy as well.
Romantic comedy as well. Yeah. Which you guys did romantic comedy.
Yeah. I think I might have used it for that. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Maybe Jenny did. But
it's all a blur.
Yeah.
It's all a blur.
But this is a fun movie.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
You saw it in theaters as well?
No, I saw it on DVD.
Really?
I didn't see it in the theater. It was one of those movies where everybody was like, dude, you didn't see this in the movie theaters? Like, somebody gave me the copy and was like, watch it now. You're not doing anything else besides watching this. And I watched it and I was like, oh my God, why didn't I see this in the movies? This is awesome.
And for the people who hadn't seen Space, they kind of introduced everybody to, what's his name?
Simon Pegg.
Simon Pegg, yeah. Nick Frost, and
Edgar Wright.
Edgar Wright.
So it's funny as hell.
Oh, man. It's awesome. It's just the moments they have throughout the whole film that's just cliche, but yet still works perfectly.
Staples of like horror movies.
Right.
And they're pointing out how ridiculous
it is. They're making fun of it themselves.
Yeah.
Right.
Everybody in this, all the co-stars in this are funny as well. You know?
Right. Oh, yeah. Everybody. Yeah. I mean, would you consider this an ensemble?
I would.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, it's a buddy movie in the beginning. Then it's a love story. It's just so many things.
It's a combination of so many different things. Yeah. It's like an oddball, but yet it all works.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Very cool. Very good pick.
Thank you.
That totally works. Adam.
Awesome. Okay.
You're number five.
So the number five that I just came up with right now, from 1959, On the Beach.
On the Beach.
Have you seen On the Beach?
I haven't
Gregory Peck, Ava Gardner, Fred Astaire, Anthony Perkins. Basically, it's a nuclear fallout has destroyed all the world except Australia. And Gregory Peck plays this commander, a submarine commander, and they're going to go. There's a signal that they've just received from San Francisco. And so they're going to go see if civilization has somehow survived this nuclear fallout, because otherwise it looks like everybody's going to die. Like, everybody's screwed. Like, they pretty much know that the fallout's going to reach Australia and everybody's going to die. Mm-hmm. And so they send the submarine to San Francisco to check out the signal, see, like, oh, hey, has it somehow miraculously faded away in San Francisco already? But it's just this awesome, amazingly casted, really depressing movie. Everyone on Australia is like, we're all going to die. And so, like, they have parties all the time, and, like, they just race cars and just kind of live life to the fullest as they're awaiting their doom, as the fallout is slowly approaching Australia. And it's Ava Gardner's great. Fred Astaire is amazing. Anthony Perkins is, like, his wife keeps wanting to kill their child so that they don't have to deal with dying of fallout exposure from the radiation. And it's... it's a really depressing movie.
I haven't seen this.
But
I gotta see this.
It's so good.
Yeah. It sounds
just
really
like,
good.
I can't believe this movie got made, basically.
And it's also such a simple movie that you could remake it now. Like, it doesn't.
You can totally remake it
I'm
now.
I'm surprised they haven't remade it by now.
They're
that
probably
sounds amazing.
Thinking about it in some way.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I can't believe this movie got made in 1959 for just how depressing it is. It's a very, very bleak movie.
Wow.
But just really great acting all around, because everybody gets to just kind of have their chewing the scenery moment when they're like, well, this is where I have my breakdown about the fact that it looks like we're all going to die.
Oh, wow.
And it's Fred Astaire is he's my favorite character. He's like just the most sort of cynical, matter-of-fact scientist about everything. And there's a point where he just likes to race his car, and he's like, oh, we're all screwed, so whatever. He's very off the cuff about it. And Gregory Peck and Ava Gardner are just kind of always great together.
Yeah, yeah.
Whenever they're on the screen together, they're great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta watch this damn
movie. Yeah, I gotta watch it now.
Yeah, it's a great movie, but again, you might want to watch Independence Day afterwards
for a pick me up.
Yeah, pick me up. Yeah.
Me watch Down on the Floor. What's it called?
Leave it on the floor.
Leave it on the floor. Keep forgetting.
Yeah.
All right, and what year was that again?
1959.
Gotta check it out. Damn. All right, my number four is from 1996, and disaster movie Twister.
It's a great one.
Carrie always.
Yep.
As the douchey guy. It's like, yo, I was, as much as I enjoyed Twister when it came out, 94? So I was like 11. I was like, yes, I enjoy it because it's cool and the Twister's messed up. And they've got The Shining playing in the background. But they've got Carrie always as a bad guy. I'm like, no, that's Wesley. He's not a bad guy.
Wesley. That's right,
But yeah, this movie's really fun. It's based on a Michael Crichton book. Maybe not. Maybe he just wrote
Michael Crichton? Oh.
Mike Crichton wrote the script, I think. But I wonder if he wrote a book, too, because he wrote Congo.
Right.
Interesting. And Sphere. I got to look into this. Yeah. And so I know he wrote – he's one of the writers.
That was at the height of Helen Hunt's career, too.
Yeah.
Just coming off of Mad About You,
I think. That had just ended.
Yeah.
Bill Paxton was
Bill
making
Paxton
a comeback.
Was high. Yeah, he was making a comeback. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was directed by John DeBont. He had just done Speed and maybe Speed 2. Which didn't go so well for him. Yeah,
Electric Boogaloo.
Cruise Control.
Oh, that was the actual subtitle? Yeah. I thought it was Electric Boogaloo. No. I wasn't sure.
that might have made it a little bit better. Instead of the punny the subtitle.
Right.
This has got an amazing, really cool supporting actors that are amazing.
Great supporting
Philip Seymour Hoffman, Jamie Gertz, Ellen Rook, and you had the Alan Burr commercial guy, the milk guy, Sean Whalen. Elmer. And then you have Todd Fields, the director of Little Children, and in The Bedroom. And he does a little acting piece in this. It's really great. I'm actually looking forward to his next movie. But Jeremy Davis is in this. Like you said, what's his face? Princess Buttercup? What's his name?
Princess Buttercup.
Carrie
always.
Yeah, always.
That guy, yeah.
And it's just such a fun movie. The effects now are really hokey, but at the time you were like, what the hell?
Wow.
That's amazing. How did they do that?
And there were some continuity issues. There's some strange things that happened there. I'm sure if they made a Blu-ray Twister, you'd see all the stuff that got cut out and everything. But yeah, no, I remember at the time I was like, wow, this is great. Coming from the Midwest, originally from Indianapolis, Indiana. So there was that, there's that one scene in the film where the sky changes color and everybody's like, oh, and I'm like, that's it. That's
you've seen it?
Oh, totally.
Have you seen a tornado?
Oh yeah. No, I've seen many tornadoes.
Really?
Yeah. There was actually a funnel cloud over my house forming.
Wow.
That landed somewhere else. Didn't land anywhere near my house, but you could actually see the hot and cold, you know, starting to mix together and things were spinning like this. And you were like, yeah, we got to go inside. Got to go downstairs right now. But
wow.
Did you see Elphaba riding around above
your house? Yes, I did. Yeah. Absolutely. but yeah, no, the sky actually does turn that weird greenish kind of color and you go, what's going on here? And it's just a weird phenomena that happens in the tornado states.
That's so crazy. Yeah. I've never, that's got to be the most, see, like earthquakes are scary, but it's like, well, what are you going to do?
Can't do anything.
You know, but, and there's no like, well, I guess tornado is the same thing, but tornado is a thing you could actually see.
Maybe you can,
Earthquake is like, well, it's some sort of place are moving up. And it just shaking.
Yeah.
You don't see it, you know?
Right.
Mr. Earthquake doesn't show up and knock on your door and go, Hey,
yeah.
It's time to rattle and roll.
You don't run outside and go, why is it so eerily yellow outside? Yes. Oh, my God, it's going to be an earthquake.
Yeah.
No, you don't do that.
But that's got to be creepy as hell.
Yeah, it is.
Have
it
you experienced an earthquake?
Yeah. I was here for the 94 quake.
What was worse? Tornado was worse, right?
It's just different. I mean, I've never actually – my house is never – you know, my house in the Midwest was never actually like hit by a tornado. Mm-hmm. So, but the fear factor is the same.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because you're like – when you have to run down to the basement and lock everything down and like go, okay, listening just to a little hand radio for hours waiting to see if the coast is clear, that's just scary, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, you still have some kind of security there because you're in the basement. There's, you know, you've got a couple layers of wood above your head and you just hope that it doesn't rip away.
Yeah.
You know, where in an earthquake, everything just starts shaking and you can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, there's nothing you can do. You just sit there and ride it out and hope that it ends.
You surf it.
Yeah, you surf it. Yeah, I got this, guys. I'm fine. So,
but yeah, that's scary.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Twister is my number five. I mean, my number four. I'm sorry.
Your number four. Yeah, yes. That's your number four. Right.
And your number four was Independence Day.
My number four was Independence Day. Right.
All right. Well, to Adam then.
Ah, shit. All right. Okay, so quickly now, my number four is from 1997, and it's Volcano.
Volcano, good choice.
You could have gone, what was the other one?
Dante's Peak.
Dante's Peak.
Yeah, no, Volcano all the way.
Came out at the same time.
Yeah. I was in this was like the peak to me this period, because I feel like you had the two Volcano movies, you had the two Meteor movies, which might show up later on people's
Deep
list.
Yep.
And the two Mars movies. I felt like this was like the key, like, oh, we're just duking it out.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
You come out with a movie, we're going to undercut it and come out with something 2 months earlier.
Right. Yep.
And I preferred Volcano.
I did too. Well, because it had Tommy Lee Jones in it.
And Tommy Lee Jones being badass.
Yeah.
Like Pierce Brosnan is, I like Pierce Brosnan sometimes, but I just didn't like the whole, I don't know, something about.
Was Linda Hamilton in that?
Yeah, Linda Hamilton and Pierce Brosnan. And it's a much smaller Dante's Peak. It's like, yeah, the town gets messed up, but you're spending most of the time with just Linda Hamilton, Pierce Brosnan, and her two kids, and then the grandma. I mean, the grandma seems pretty fucked up.
That's messed up. Spoiler alert
if you haven't seen that, but it doesn't work out well for the grandma.
Yeah. but Volcano was in L.A.
It's in L.A.
Right.
And you're like, it's at, like, the volcano is under the La Brea tar pits.
Right.
And like, just it just completely destroys the city. And this is like the volcano to me is a true like disaster movie in the vein of like the old timey like Earthquake and Towering Inferno. And I'm hoping
where the city is demolished.
Yeah, the city is just in peril, and everybody's involved.
Yeah, right.
And it's like the whole again like Independence Day. We've got that ensemble cast.
Yeah,
as Volcano. Yeah, Tommy Lee Jones is in it, and he's great. But you've got like Keith David as an LAPD cop.
Right.
And I think, what's his name? The guy from John Corbett is in it. Yeah. He's like a preppy dude. And Anne Heche she's the science, or not the Scientologist.
she might be. We
geologist.
Don't know. Yeah.
She's the geologist. She could be a Scientologist, whatever works for her. And then what? Gabby Hoffman plays Tommy Lee Jones's daughter.
Right.
Yep.
Don Cheadle again.
Don Cheadle.
Being awesome Tommy Lee Jones's underling, like his second in command, the one guy, John Carroll Lynch's character has, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen Volcano, pause this and go watch it before I go on. John Carlin's character has like the best self-sacrificing moment, which is the most ridiculous.
It is
the most ridiculous moment in the movie, where like the he works for the city that has a subway. So if you haven't seen Speed or this movie, yes, LA has subways.
Right. Yeah.
Yep.
And spoiler alert.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. In case you come here, you can take the subway. It doesn't go very far, but you could take it around the town a little bit. But the lava is leaking into the subway system, and one of their trains has stopped. And the lava is leaking underneath it, and he goes to save the driver, the conductor of the train, but the lava has like trapped them in the train, and he jumps into the lava and starts melting himself and throws the conductor out of harm's way.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous, and I love every moment of it.
Yeah.
And he was kind of a minor character, but like that, just like he's literally, pun intended, burned into your mind.
All those movies had somebody who self-sacrificed
Even
in Dante's Peak. Dante's Peak,
the grandma.
Grandmother.
Again, another, except her, okay, again, spoiler alert. It's the Lake of Acid, but it's a weird, hers isn't even a self-sacrifice. She just flips out and loses her shit.
Yeah, and just goes in the water.
She's just like, I can't wait. I got to jump out of the boat because they're in this boat on a lake.
Right.
But the sulfur from the volcano has acidified the lake, so the lake is turned into acid. And she loses her shit and just jumps into the Lake of Acid.
Hey.
And that doesn't work out well for her.
No, Grandma. Oh.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Let's go.
Yeah.
Well, you also had Randy Quaid in Independence Day.
Right. Self-sacrifice.
Self-sacrifice. Yeah, no, yeah. Not in Twister so much.
It's not the self-sacrifice. It's just being an asshole.
Yeah.
Right.
That gets you in trouble there.
Carrie.
Yeah. Poor Carrie.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he's an idiot. Couldn't read the hurricane, the tornado.
Yeah.
Right.
Not like Bill Paxton could.
No. Because there's only one person can read tornado.
Yeah. He didn't know that it was going to turn.
Yeah.
He didn't know how to read the cows.
Years of experience.
Right. Yeah.
The cow flying. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I like volcano. I forgot how cheesy it was and how.
I do. Just like when the volcano, like, so there's an earthquake. And they don't know what's going on, and Tommy Lee Jones gets called into work. And so he's on his way to work, and it's like 5 o'clock in the morning in Los Angeles, and they're driving past the tar pits, and then a volcano just erupts.
Right.
And the shit hits the fan, and it's amazing. And, like, they don't know what to do, and people come together, and, like, they want to arrest this black guy, but then he helps them out, so they let him go.
Right.
We have
all the cliches.
A lot of disaster movies have, like, a tinge of, like, B-movie. Like, just modern B-movies.
Yeah. Right, right.
Twister, this, Independence Day.
Yeah.
Very cool. I like this list, even though you got the wrong list.
I did.
You're still bringing it.
Yeah.
Bringing it.
Well, yeah. I try.
I think it's helping that you're off kilter. You're just like, hey. Also, the guy who directed Volcano directed The Bodyguard. Just looked
really?
It up.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So
I'm Mick Jackson?
Yeah. All right. Where are we? Three?
Three, yes.
Three. So I got my alien movie. I got my land disaster.
Right.
Tornado.
Right.
And now I got my sea. Poseidon Adventure from 1972.
Poseidon Adventure, that's a great film.
This is such a great film.
That's my number 10.
Boat gets tipped over by Rogue Wave.
Yes, Tidal Wave.
Uh-huh. Tidal Wave. And you have Gene Hackman, Ernest Borgnine, Shelley Winters, Roddy McDowell.
Oh, man. So many great people.
So many great people in a really cool... This could have been a B-movie, but it had such great acting that it just was just a good movie, period.
Yeah. A great ensemble cast.
Yeah, and there's nothing to say. Adam, you have anything to add to this? Poseidon Adventure.
Poseidon Adventure, the original Poseidon Adventure.
Yeah.
Well, it's way better than Poseidon.
Yeah.
I can say categorically.
Way better.
Well, Poseidon dropped the adventure. That's what their problem was, really.
That's where things went wrong.
Yeah. They would have kept the adventure.
Cast Fergie, so they had that going against
them. She died right away.
Really quickly. Well,
that helped.
Right.
But still.
Because they knew.
Yeah.
We got to get rid of
I worked at a movie theater when that came out, and I made up a drinking game. Every time they had a gratuitous close-up of Emmy Rossum's bust, you had to take a shot.
Oh, yeah.
And you'd be drunk before the ship even tipped over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that cameraman just really liked her boobs for some reason.
Yeah. Well, she's got nice boobs. What, you know?
Was she even legal then, though? It's like, dude.
I think she was.
Dude,
she
we're
was
all 18. Watching your footage. We see what you're filming.
Right. You creepy bastard. Yeah. Director's like, how did that look? And he's like, it looked great. Let's move on.
They look great, sir.
I can't wait till this boat gets flooded.
Yeah.
It's going to get wet everywhere.
Can we put her in a white t-shirt, please?
That movie was just messed up.
Yeah.
The remake. I never enjoyed it as much as the original.
Yeah, I didn't enjoy it either. There were so many things about it. There was not enough camaraderie with everybody.
Yeah,
I didn't care about any of them. Yeah.
I wanted them all to die.
Yeah. This one was all about self-sacrifice. Like, everybody had to sacrifice themselves. Yeah. It's like, dude, really? You're going to kill spoiler alert. But again, don't see Poseidon. Poseidon Adventure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Watch Poseidon. If you're watching it right now, continue watching the film. You're not going to lose anything.
The Kurt Russell.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Kurt Russell. Okay, first off, don't kill off Kurt Russell.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
Second off.
He's Snake.
That was really painful. Like, watching, I don't want to watch people drown.
No. Yeah. It's awful.
Terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, you don't kill off Snake.
Right.
No.
Right?
No. You don't.
No.
How would he even let that happen? That was his time period. Why would he even let that happen? He'd be like, listen, I see in the script that I'm dying. No, that's not going to happen.
That's not going to work for me.
No, I can't do that.
I'm Kurt Russell.
I'm Kurt. Yeah. Have you seen my history?
I've seen Let Me Call Big Trouble in Little China.
Let me pull up IMDb for you. You know?
But yeah, that's my number three, The Poseidon Adventure.
Okay.
Just a fun movie.
Fun, good movie.
Gene Hackman's in it. That's all you need to know.
Great.
Yeah.
Lex Luthor.
Yes.
That's right.
Vito.
My number three. Is another Earth disaster film, actually kind of along the same lines as my number five, but I Am Legend.
Really?
With Will Smith.
Did you read the book?
I did not read the book. That's probably why I like the film.
Yes.
Okay.
You'd be looking at yourself with anger.
I'd be
like Ricardo is.
Hold on. Give me a pen. I'll scratch this off my list right now. Let me reorganize. No.
This is the thing. It's entertaining. Will Smith does his thing.
Yeah.
Will Smith is just fun. He knows how to make movies entertaining. And this movie, I'm upset because this is one of my favorite books of all time.
Okay.
It was written by Richard Matheson,
mm-hmm.
who wrote a lot of Twilight Zone episodes.
Okay.
So the book is a very long Twilight Zone episode.
Got it.
And the movie was nothing like the book. Like, the book was about vampires.
Okay.
But you didn't get that from the movie.
Interesting. Well, I mean, I can...
Kind of. They're like zombies.
Yeah, kind of like zombies.
Because I thought the movie was about CGI becoming self-aware and killing people.
That too.
That's what it looked like to me.
I made a really bad choice, right?
And killing dogs.
I'm feeling ganged up on. No.
The Will Smith stuff is great.
Yeah.
But the stuff with the dog too. Is terrible.
Right.
Yeah. That scene with the dog.
The dog scene is heartbreaking.
Well, see, Will Smith, for me, the first half of the movie, I was like, oh yeah, okay, I'm on board. And then, and then as soon as like the girl showed up, I was like, okay, they could still salvage this. We're still going the right path.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the zombie showed up, whatever they were, then they lost me. I'm like, no, what the fuck? That's when everything started going shit crazy.
You got up and walked out of the theater.
I was like up in my seat, you know, like yelling at the screen.
Right. Pulling out the book, quoting.
Yeah. Like, you bastards. But yeah. So the thing is, the first half of the movie, I was amazingly entertained. The dog scene is really emotional.
Oh, so emotional and tragic.
Yeah.
And I like the isolation. I thought one of the things I liked about the film was the isolation and how that affects the human psyche and how he can go kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And start talking
to mannequins
and thinking that they're actually people.
Yeah.
And I thought the way they did the one scene with the mannequin spoiler alert.
Just talk to me. And he's like...
Well, no, when he's driving by and he sees
him saying,
I thought that was great. I thought that was awesome. You know, the fact that he doesn't even know what's real anymore.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, the girl showing up, that kind of put a different spin on it.
When the girl was... I was still good with the girl showing up. But then the kid showing up, not in the book. The girl showing up is in the book.
Right.
But it takes a really different turn in the book.
Oh, okay. So it goes a different way in the book.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
I'll tell you afterwards.
Okay, yeah, tell me afterwards.
The thing is that they it's not a fucked up movie. The ending is fucked up for me.
Okay.
The movie, the first half, like I said, is really entertaining. And Will Smith is good to watch. I mean, he's by himself on screen and he's engaging.
Right.
You know? It's hard to do. But for me, I hate saying this, but they messed up the movie enough where I'm good with it because eventually they could remake it or make I would love to see I'm Legend in the book as a HBO miniseries.
Oh, that would be good. Yeah. I think that'd be amazing.
The
actually.
Book takes place in LA. And I think that gives it another spin to it too.
Mm-hmm.
That like the fact that it was in New York kind of, you know.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
The book is in LA and there's a lot of interesting twists. Have you read this book?
I haven't finished it. I don't know. I have a book problem where like I read too many at the same time.
Yeah.
Oh.
But it's half like I'm 25 pages into it. And it's great. I just have too many things I'm reading at the same time and I get distracted. Yeah. I've got like book ADD.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, I want to, oh, and then I hear about this. I want to read that.
Right.
But so between all of the different adaptations though, so there's Last Man on Earth.
Yeah.
There's Omega Man.
Omega Man.
And then there's I Am Legend. So of the three.
I have to go with Omega Man.
Okay.
Because.
Well, one, it's got Charlton Heston.
Is that Michael Crichton? Omega Man?
No, they're all written.
They're all based on I Am Legend.
Oh, they're all based it's like on I Am Legend. Trilogy yeah. of.
Well, if they're no, no, just no. different. So they're all just different adaptations.
The book's very old, by the way.
Oh, okay.
The book's old.
Okay, gotcha.
And all the Omega Man's Charlton Heston adaptation of the book.
Oh, okay.
And then
The Last Man on Earth is a Vincent Price
adaptation.
So that's how old this book is.
Yeah, it's all the same. And that's like 1950-something.
Yeah. I think it was right after the book was written.
Yeah, and that was in public domain. Like, you can watch it on YouTube or Google Videos for free.
Okay.
I think they got the character of Neville in Omega Man.
Yeah.
Because he was an alcoholic. He, you know, at one point, like, that's how he dealt with being alone, was he drank a lot. And that's, you know, that was a thing that they didn't really touch upon in the Will Smith version.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, he likes to play. I think he likes to choose things that are very clean.
Yes.
Much more clean.
A little bit more wholesome.
Yeah, a little more wholesome. Because they got into a little bit of. Did you see the alternate ending to that?
Yeah, I also. I didn't like it either.
Well, it got into, again, that wholesome kind of higher.
Yeah.
And then, I don't want to do a spoiler, but, you know, higher power
and
type
the book
of thing.
See, the thing is, when people do different things from the book, when they deviate,
mm-hmm.
I don't mind it. As long as you don't go against what the theme of the book is.
Right, okay.
And that was the problem with the end of I Am Legend, was that it was a completely different theme.
They
were like, okay, we're going the right way. Oh, no, we're gonna take this wild turn.
Oh, okay.
And fuck the theme of the book, which was, that's what I loved about the movie, about the book.
About the book, right.
Yeah, that it was like,
don't mess with
wild.
My theme.
Yeah, don't mess with my theme.
Yeah, I got you. I'm feeling you. I'm feeling you with that.
It's not about higher power.
I'm going to read the book now. I'm going to have to try to get through the book, and then now
it's a fun read.
Then I'll know what you're going through.
Yeah, yeah. You're gonna be like, fuck that movie.
Right, yeah. I hate that. It's coming off of my list altogether.
But what number is this for you?
This is number three. That's my number three.
That's your number three.
Yeah.
But you know what? That, like I said, the first half of it, and go back and watch the Charlton Heston version.
Okay.
You're
going to
be like, oh. Okay.
That's Omega Man, right?
Omega Man. Yeah.
Okay, I'll check it out.
I think that was the first interracial kiss, wasn't it?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, in a movie?
Yeah, in a movie.
I don't know, because, I mean, on Star Trek, there's an episode where
I think
this is
this is pre Star Trek, I think.
What year was Omega Man?
We'll find out right now, but tell us your number three, Adam.
Shit. My number three is the problem. So, like, I can think of a bunch of movies, but I haven't, like, mentally put them in the order I want them in officially. But whatever. My number three is from 1975, and there are two titles. It's Shivers, or They Came From Within.
Ooh.
David Cronenberg movie. Yeah. Very much. Oh, I don't want to say very much, but definitely you can see where people who wrote Alien borrowed a little bit of stuff from Shivers as far as the way the creature gestates and interacts with people.
Interesting.
It's the alien, the way the alien works is pretty much exactly the same.
Oh.
And this came out first.
It's interesting.
Yeah. But basically, it's just a fucked up movie. So it's Cronenberg. So, I mean, that should kind of tell you that it's messed up in the first place. There are this scientist has created these sort of parasites that take over a human host and just make them want to have sex.
Ooh.
Oh,
well, I like this.
Interesting.
I like this.
That's a twist I did not see coming.
Yeah. So it's like a sex apocalypse.
Nice. Which wouldn't necessarily be the worst apocalypse.
No.
But you're not yourself anymore. You're part of like this host creature thing where it's taking you over and it just wants to keep multiplying. And so that's why like everybody's just kind of
doing
it. Oh, so it's multiplying so it's human like, beings so it can actually take over.
It wants to take over everyone.
Okay, gotcha.
Hmm.
But yeah, so but part of the way it does that is it wants to have sex with everybody. Like during sex, it like transmits another creature to you. And so you're part of the creatures.
That's how kind of sex works. Right.
kind of does,
but not in that evil kind
yeah,
of
not,
way.
Yeah, not quite as insidious. But it's just weird because essentially the movie turns into sex zombies, which is people running around trying to have sex with people instead of trying to eat them. It's like, we just want to have sex with you.
Huh.
Interesting.
But they're not talking.
They're like rapey zombies.
Yeah, they're rapey zombies.
But they look fine. They're not decaying or anything.
Yeah, they're not decaying. They're still attractive. They can fool you into thinking that really? They're still human. And like you could
it's
think
like the herpes. Like you kind of look the same, but
yeah, you kind of look the same, but there's slightly, there's something
off.
To pop up and disturb you.
Yeah.
But yes, but and then it's got like a whole kind of face hugger vibe to it, where it's like this creature that shoots out, and it's Cronenberg, so the body horror.
Ooh.
But it's fun and creepy and weird, and I mean, of all the disaster end of the world type things, I guess this. Us guys can think of it as the most appealing. Because it's like, well, they just want to have sex with you.
Yeah. There's somebody right now listening to this podcast going, why can't aliens come down and take over all the women? So they're...
I mean, I think part of the problem, though, is also that I think everyone wants to have sex with you. It's been a while since I've seen
women?
This. Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily limited to women.
Oh,
that's like, disturbing to me now. That,
but yeah. I could. I mean, they don't show any dude on dude action. But I do feel like
the moving
mass of sex zombies. It's really just like an orgy. It's like an orgy.
Oh wow,
a wave of orgy.
And what if you're tired?
A herd.
What if you're tired? And you're like, no, maybe later. Like,
yeah,
I'm in my refractory period. Let me wait a little bit, sir.
At a certain point, there'd have to be a lull.
Yeah. And they're like, no, we must
keep going.
No, sir.
No rest.
Please.
Yeah. Well, but then my other question is, so what happens once they have, like, is the orgy over once everyone is an alien?
They're right. Like, oh, let's all go home.
Yeah, it's like, well, now we're done.
Yeah.
No one gets to ever have sex again.
That's the apocalypse there.
We got to wait 9 more months. No, we got to wait about 18 more years. That was really disgusting, the first comment I said. I apologize to all the listeners out there right now.
Oh, that opens a whole other really disturbing layer.
Title Fitch, The Shivers. Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, very bizarre. And then, but it's also got, it kind of reminds me of Sisters, the
Brian De Palma
movie, in the way that it has shades of different, like it's got different tones to different sections. Where like it starts off kind of like a slasher, like, oh, well, why did this? Because the doctor kills his patient and nobody knows why. And so it starts off as a slasher mystery, and another doctor comes and is trying to figure out why this doctor went crazy and killed his patient. And then it turns into
a
zombie
thriller.
Movie, and then it turns into an alien movie.
Wow.
It's like got these three different layers going on all at the same time. And it's really fun, really
disturbing. With erotic undertones.
With erotic undertones.
Nice.
And it's from the 70s, so it's Canadian, so they could be a little bit extra kinky or if that's your thing. It's nice. it's very bizarre, but lots of fun. It's hard to find.
I'm on board.
I think it's out of print. I mean, Netflix had it at one point. I'm sure some sicko kept his copy of it because he couldn't find it anywhere else.
Yeah.
And I hate that guy because I liked to be able to watch that movie.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, you should check it out if you can find a copy.
I have to
again?
Check it out.
Shivers. Shivers is the copy on the DVD, but it was also released as they Came From Within.
Okay. Directed by David Cronenberg.
Cronenberg, yeah.
Wow.
All right. Well, so my number two is from 2011, and this is my pandemic disaster, and it's Contagion.
Contagion.
Have you seen this?
No, I have not seen Contagion.
Good movie. Steven Soderbergh.
Yeah.
Scott Z. Burns writing credit on this movie.
This is Matt Damon, right?
Matt Damon.
Right.
You got Kate Winslet, Jude Law, Matt Damon. Who else do we have? Gwyneth Paltrow, Lawrence Fishburne, John Hawks, Jude Law, I think I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Huge cast, Marion Cotillard, and it's got an amazing cast, great ensemble, and I'll give you the synopsis. A thriller centered a thriller centered on the threat posed by a deadly disease and the international team of doctors contracted by the CDC to deal with the outbreak. So they're trying to figure out what this is. It's like the super bug. It's killing people off.
Right.
And people are going, it's like this, like, almost like this apocalyptic thing where people are going crazy in the streets. Yeah. So it's really, really real scary version of what could happen if, like, the bird flu got out of hand, something like that.
Went just crazy on the, yeah.
Yeah. And how fast it would devastate the whole world.
Right.
And how it started, and then trying to figure out who was the first guy to contract it, or woman.
Right.
And it's an amazing thriller.
Right.
Kind of in the vein of one of my favorite old movies, an Elie Kazan movie called Panic in the Streets.
Oh.
It reminds me a little bit about that. Panic in the Streets was about kind of this weird pandemic thing that was going to get out there if they didn't find this one dude.
Right.
And
or kind of like Outbreak.
Kind of like Outbreak,
Wolf Peterson's,
yeah.
Outbreak.
Yeah, it's kind of like Outbreak, but I enjoy this much, much, much better. I love this version.
Well, this one is definitely
more real.
It's more of a global.
Yeah.
It's more of a global
catastrophe.
Scale
than, like, Outbreak. If we don't stop it, it's going to consume.
Well, it already takes over. In Contagion, it's the whole world.
Yeah.
And Outbreak, it's just this Northern California town.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to lie, I prefer Outbreak.
Okay, I like Outbreak. I've loved Outbreak. That was actually on my list. It was down on my list, way down on my list, because I kept pushing it down. It became 15 on my list. But
but it's there.
But it's there. It's on the top, well, 30. So, but yeah, Outbreak was another film that I really loved. But Contagion was one of those films. I remember talking to a few people and I wanted to see, it was on my list to go see and I just never saw it. And somebody was like, if you go see that film, you're going to want to never touch anything ever
or
again.
Anyone.
Or anyone ever again. You know, it's like, it will turn you into a germaphobe. And if you are a germaphobe, you're going to freak out.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. Soderbergh is kind of... I'm not on the Soderbergh bandwagon anymore. Like you love him, but I just feel like he is out of touch with humanity, because his movies to me just like it's about the world dying by a plague, but I don't feel really any.
Anything.
I don't feel much humanity in them. Like, he's just very cold to me. His movies are colder and colder to me.
Mm.
Interesting. Well, I could maybe see that. I didn't. I dug Magic Mike. That was the last movie he made.
Yeah, I just saw that.
I'm a fan.
I didn't like it.
Yeah,
I like males dancing.
I'm not. Well, I can't say I'm never going to see it because my girlfriend keeps talking about wanting to see it. So eventually, one day, it's going to be like, "What's this on the DVD?" Oh, okay.
I enjoyed it. And I willingly went to go see it.
Okay.
To early screening of the.
Wow.
I got in line for 2 hours to watch this. It's like, me and Kevin were the only two dudes there.
Nice. The women.
Yeah.
Actually, it might be the good choice if you were single.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, that was my number two. What is your number one? Give us a real recap and your number one.
Oh, no, wait. Did I do my number
two?
Oh,
no. We're still on two. I'm sorry. I went first.
You're
went
pushing
last.
Ahead.
I know.
No.
You're number two.
My number two. Again, this is kind of one of those ones where I thought, I'm not sure if they're going to take this as a disaster film. Comes from 1982. The Thing. Kind of along the same lines as Contagion. If it gets out, it's going to be a global problem.
I don't know. I think so.
I saw it show up on other disaster movies lists. I think – I mean, it was easy for me to just gloss over it because everybody on this podcast has used it already.
On every fucking
topic.
Yeah, it shows up a lot.
Well, it's my first time, so I can say
it. Well, also gives it a little chance to talk about the thing.
Right. I love this film.
We never avoid talking about the
thing. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I just –
It's got the aforementioned – Kurt Russell.
Right, Kurt Russell.
Period.
How can you go wrong with
Wolf
Kurt Russell?
Wolf Brimley.
I would have
pre-diabetes.
The supporting cast on this is...
He could have had diabetes. Then he just got it under control.
Maybe,
right.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I love this film. Like I said, I think I slipped it under the wire there disaster films. But...
I mean, it's just a very small-scale disaster.
Yeah.
It's a small
disaster.
Scale.
It wipes
it could have been.
It wipes out all the population of Antarctica.
That's right. Yeah. In a matter of like a week.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
But it could go global.
It could go global.
Right? And that's the movie I would have rather seen than the prequel that came out with.
Did you
see the prequel?
I saw the prequel.
Yeah. I would have rather seen the plot from the video game as a movie than the plot that they did in the prequel. Have you played the video?
I never played the video game.
The plot was like they sent a team in to investigate what happened.
Oh.
And they find, I believe they find that the Keith David character had killed the Kurt Russell. Like the Kurt Russell character was fine and the Keith David character was the thing.
Oh, was the thing.
And he had killed Kurt Russell.
Oh,
and
okay.
Then it's the team dealing with that. I would have rather seen that as a movie or see the thing get out into the world and see what happens.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I have it come to like a big city or
a bigger city.
Like, or a bigger city, yeah. Or whatever.
Or like a military base or something.
Right, yeah.
That would have been cool. Because that's still confined, but it's on a military base.
Right. Everybody shooting each other, blowing each other up.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And more people.
Yeah.
Or like a deep sea oil rig or something. Yeah. Like that. Something else where it's confined, but a little bit more people and more to play around with.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe a different setting.
Yeah. No, I think that'd be great. I definitely want to watch that. But yeah, this movie is great. Another ensemble cast that just works really well. This was actually the very first horror film. I can say that too because it's listed that way.
It's a bunch of our lists.
It's a bunch. Yeah. So this was the very first film I saw that had that much gore in it that I was like not frightened by it. I was actually intrigued by everything I was watching. I was at my brother's house way back in the day, and I remember I watched it from beginning to end, and I was just amazed by the special effects.
Yep.
And this still holds up as some of the best special effects.
Something else better than the remake. The live – every time we say this, I have to say this, but the live practical effects in The Thing
is amazing.
Are better than the CGI in the remake.
Right.
Better than most CGI in general.
In anywhere. Yeah, exactly. And I'll agree with that. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just the practical effects are so – you just can't help but go, that's happening
right then
and there. Yeah, and that's awesome, and I love it.
That dude's head just turned into a spider.
And it's walking across the floor.
Yep.
Right. Yeah.
I'm on board with this. I agree. I'm glad you brought it up.
I feel like in all the times we've talked about it, have we ever actually just listed all the great people in this movie that we love? T.K. Carter. I mean, we always talk about Wilford Brimley, Kurt Russell, and Keith David.
Yeah.
But like T.K. Carter, I'd be like, but what's the guy? Richard Mouser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's in, like, he's in It.
Yeah.
You know him if you saw him.
Right.
But the whole crew, Donald Moffat, the whole crew of the ice station, they're all great.
Everybody's great.
I think great horror movies have an ensemble cast.
Yes.
Right.
Where you can like everyone, and even with their infighting that they have, where their sort of cliques that they have against each other, you're invested in what's going on.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like in modern movies, we don't get that as much. Like everybody's most of the time, I feel like everybody's just kind of a dick.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Like they want everyone to be the cool, dickish guy. So you're not quite sure who you're going to root for because they're all the Snake Plissken type. You're like, oh, well, that guy's kind of douchey.
Yeah.
And smart alecky, is he going to be the last person around?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's a weird thing.
And plus, in films like this, I think that the ensemble cast, even though they have their different personalities and they may not get along with everybody, at a certain point, everybody has to drop all of that and deal with the main situation, which is really great because then you get to see them working with each other when you go, oh, they hate each other, but they both want to live.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, yeah. Just
I'm on board with
this. It's a great pick. Definitely works for me. I did see it popping up on other lists on the interwebs.
Okay.
Yeah. Good choice.
Thank you.
Adam, you're number two.
So my number two, all right. I don't know if this is a first. I might have talked about this at some other point. Have I ever used a TV movie before?
I think you have. I think I have too.
Okay. Well, this is a TV movie from 1983. I might have talked about it at some point because it is one of the scariest movies I've ever seen. The Day After.
The Day After.
The Day After. Do you remember The Day After?
I do remember.
It's about the day after the
Holocaust.
They dropped the atomic bombs.
Yeah.
Like mutually assured destruction where like we shoot our rockets and Russia shoots their rockets and everybody's fucked.
Yeah.
Oh.
And it's about the fallout. Like the people who survive.
Really?
Survive the atomic attacks.
Right.
In this little like Indiana town, I want to say.
Yeah.
Kansas. In this little Kansas town. Jason Robards is in it. Joe Beth Williams, Steve Guttenberg, John Lithgow. But everybody's like getting fallout sickness and like slowly like deteriorating and like skin peeling off and like, but the scene where, cause they build up to it. It doesn't just start off after it's happened. It starts off like, oh, hey, tensions are high between the US and Russia. Things are going well. And you're following everyone on their daily lives. And then like you, even though you know what the movie is about, just out of nowhere, the flash happens. You're like, oh shit, the nuclear bombs just hit and everybody's fucked.
Yeah.
Right.
And then it's just downhill from there. It's like watching people slowly melt, essentially.
Right.
Like, there's the people who die instantly, and then there's everyone else who has to deal with the fallout, and it's just agonizing. And it's like, oh my gosh, this is so terrible. And like, as a kid, especially, like seeing Mahoney dying of radiation sickness, and like Jason Robards is like trying to find his family, and he's trying to help people, and everybody's trying to help, and all the hospitals are just overrun with these people who are burnt and dying. And it's, again, don't watch this paired with On the Beach.
Yeah.
Because you'll not want to go out. You're not going to have a very good day if you watch these two movies together. But see them at some point.
Yeah.
But it's one of the scariest movies I've ever seen. It's terrifying.
Wow. I remember watching – this was – I think this was the first like apocalyptic movie I ever watched as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
That I was able to sit through. And mm-hmm. I remember my mother, even to this day, I think if you had asked my mother, she'd be like, that movie – changed my son. Like, wow. Scarred him, you know, from everything. Because I remember, and I'd have to revisit it. Actually, I want to revisit it now. Because I remember that those images of people just kind of falling apart,
yeah,
as they dealt with the situations. And I just remember going, oh my God, if that happened right now.
Yeah.
Oh God. I was so scared to death that there was going to be a bomb that was going to blow up. One day the flash was going to happen, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden I'd be melting slowly over the course of my life.
I feel like if you were of a certain age in the 80s when this came out,
yeah,
if you were the right age, this movie was terrifying. Like kids today, they're like, oh, Cold War's over. When it's not the same. Russia is not a big deal anymore.
Right.
But like, I was the exact right age for this movie to scare the shit out of me.
Yeah.
And it's a made-for-TV movie.
Yeah.
Made-for-TV movie. They can't even show that much. I think it was a CBS made-for-TV movie. And it's still terrifying.
Terrifying.
I don't want to see this movie.
No, you should.
I will, though.
It's really good. It's on DVD. You can get it on Netflix. I love it.
Oh, it is on Netflix?
It's on Netflix, yeah.
Oh, you're streaming?
I mean, it's not streaming. I mean, I don't think so. Maybe the DVD is available.
Okay.
The DVD is available from Netflix.
Gotcha.
I got to check that out now. So it's two depressing movies I got to watch back to back.
Yeah,
right.
Not back to back.
All right. Oh man, that was depressing. Took me to a dark place.
Well, I mean, I feel bad because I crammed in two really depressing movies, but it's just I don't.
You got it
again. I got to because I didn't make my list until I got here.
Yeah,
and they're just kind of the first ones that come to mind.
And the subject is disaster films.
It is,
so
and it is a big. I think it's that's
besides
the
sex
disaster.
Apocalypse.
Yes.
This you can't really
there
go.
There you go. You gotta
level
layer
it down. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, you want the sex apocalypse or the fallout? sex apocalypse.
I'll take sex apocalypse for 500.
Fuck it.
Right.
I'll be shaved. All right. I'll do a recap and then my number one. Number five was Independence Day. Four, Twister. Three, The Poseidon Adventure. Two, Contagion. And my number one is from 1998. It might be on some of your list. I love this movie. It's fun. It's exciting. I don't care. It's Michael Bay. It's Armageddon.
Armageddon. It's on my. It was originally in my top five, and it actually got bumped down for some of the other ones that were in my top five. Maybe it shouldn't have been. Maybe I should have replaced it with I Am Legend.
I know.
I'm just saying.
Maybe.
You know.
Well, it was also originally in my top five, just because that's one of those go-to movies. Like, all right, disaster movie, Armageddon.
Yeah.
It's
like
the first thing that
Boom.
Pops into your mind.
Yeah.
But I figured even though there's only three of us, someone would have it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
so,
I thought of that too.
Well,
yeah.
Here, I have two like guilty pleasures on Criterion. Criterion, for those of you who don't know, it's like the special edition version of a film. It's restored. It's like, I think it's really cool, like prestigious to be on the Criterion.
It's their DVD distributors who are movie geeks at heart. Like, they're movie geeks first, DVD distributors second, mm-hmm. and they'll just distribute anything that they love, but at the same time, they need money to distribute the really great movies that they love, so they'll release Armageddon, and I'm guessing the other one is The Rock.
Yes.
The Rock, yeah. Yes. That's not a good, yeah.
So, Armageddon, I fucking love Armageddon.
Yeah.
It's, again, coming back to the whole dueling disaster movies, I prefer Armageddon to Deep Impact.
Right. An ensemble cast, again. Mm-hmm. Ensemble cast that just works together
well. All these movies have great ensemble casts. That's,
right.
that's one,
the
of the, one of the themes that a lot of movies nowadays don't get. Like, the disaster movies are like, you know, one man versus the world.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's like, no, you need that ensemble thing. Led by Bruce Willis in this
Bruce
one.
Bruce Willis.
And Billy Bong Thornton.
Yeah.
Isn't Billy Bong Thornton?
Yeah. Billy Bong. He might have been doing that on his off time. We don't know.
Let's just rattle some names. Steve Buscemi.
Owen Wilson.
Owen Wilson. Ben Affleck.
The late Michael Clark Duncan.
Michael Clark Duncan.
Yes.
My thing's taking forever to load. Does anybody's there?
Yeah, I think your internet just crapped out.
Yeah. So just off the top of my head, okay, so we got the guy.
Did you say Will Patton?
Will Patton is great.
Patton. This was the movie. Wait, was this before or after Postman?
This was,
which is another. Well, yes. That's a dystopian future, but
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. I feel like this is this is after. I think. I think. Let me see. Armageddon.
Technical difficulties.
Yeah.
There we go.
We said Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
Steve Buscemi. William Fichtner. Owen Wilson. Like Peter Stormare.
Yes.
Don't touch nothing.
Yeah. Jason Isaacs.
He's great. So great.
Jason Isaacs.
Jason. Oh yeah, he's the commander.
Keith David. Like I think we mentioned him. Who else we got? Eddie Griffin is in this in the beginning.
In the control center.
Udo Kier.
Is
a psychologist?
No. In NASA, the NASA control center. With the bum leg, he can't.
That's Billy Bob Thornton.
Billy Bob Thornton. Oh, I didn't know we mentioned.
Did we say
him,
Liv really. Tyler?
Liv Tyler. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just such a fun, awesome action movie.
I remember when they showed the they were talking about the way editing and the number of shots and things have changed since back in the day to the 1998 even, and showing just the scene when they dock with the space station and Ben Affleck's supposed to let him know when the gauge gets the red and pull the lever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just all the different cuts in that one sequence, just like 98 cuts.
Wow.
In one sequence.
Like, yeah. Ridiculous. It's insane. It's insane.
And so let me list. Not only does it have a crazy cast, but the writing staff on this thing. Let me just rattle off some names, people you might recognize. Jonathan Hensley, J.J. Abrams, Tony Gilroy.
Wow.
Shane Salerno. I mean, you got a couple of the most prolific writers on there right there. Tony Gilroy, Born Identity, Born Supremacy.
Right.
All Michael Clayton, J.J. Abrams. Enough said.
J.B. Abrams. I had no idea.
This was one of his early credits.
Wow.
But he's one of the main writers on it. The other guys are kind of like either rewrites or story by.
Right.
But, man, so many guys writing this. Michael Bay directing. Some of the very cool special effects stuff that I've seen out of Michael Bay movies.
Right.
Well,
this is like
fun.
Very first.
Yeah.
Really Michael Bay, like high.
Big
action,
yeah,
destruction,
yeah,
kind of film.
And this was just, again, like I said, it's just a fun movie. Like, it's just, and at the end, you're crying because fucking Bruce Willis is going to die.
Bruce Willis is bringing it.
And you're like, no, no.
Talking to his daughter.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you cry?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you got Aerosmith playing in the background.
Right. Good music.
Good music.
Yeah.
You got funny introductions to characters.
Right.
You know, you have Owen Wilson being funny. Steve Buscemi going nuts.
Well, between
riding the nuclear weapon.
Oh my God.
Ride him high, cowboy.
And then I think the selling point for me on getting, besides the fact that it was a Criterion DVD, is I had seen the outtakes
for this
movie on the Criterion, which is hilarious. Just hearing Billy Bob Thornton joking around on his like cutaways when he's yelling directions to them on the spacecraft, and then like in one of the outtakes he goes to the Sling Blade character.
Yeah.
Oh no. Yeah. I haven't seen any of that. I gotta
hilarious.
See that.
Yeah. It's hilarious.
It's just a fun movie. So I picked it my number one.
Nice.
Figured somebody was gonna have to.
And good I number one.
Figured everyone was gonna like we're playing chicken. Like Armageddon chicken.
Yeah, yeah.
And everyone jumped out and I stayed on.
And that's one of the reasons why I didn't push to have it in my top five, because I was like, oh, somebody's going to have it.
But Vito, give us a recap
on
your number one.
Recap. My number five was Shaun of the Dead. Number four, Independence Day. Number three, I Am Legend. Number two, The Thing. And number one, Titanic.
Hmm. You got your boat movie in there, too.
Yeah, I got my boat movie in there, yeah. So,
I like it.
Titanic is just a great all-around film. James Cameron.
Let me just tell you the main reason I like this movie.
Yeah.
It's PG-13, and it's got boobs in it. How awesome is that?
That's it.
You thought I was going to go somewhere like really like scholarly.
I think it's PG-13 because it's got boobs in it.
Yeah.
They probably could have gotten away with all the death and destruction.
Oh, yeah.
It's just the boobs pushing the PG-13.
There's no bloodshed in this, really.
Yeah, no one says fuck.
And she's got nice boobs. Yeah. You're like, oh, I'm impressed. Yeah. I didn't expect that from Kate
Winslet. I'd sketch those, too.
Yeah, I'd sketch those, too.
Yeah.
This movie's been parodied.
Yeah.
This movie is... the movie, I feel like... I don't know how I feel about Titanic anymore. I've seen this... I saw it a bunch of times when in theaters.
Uh-huh.
I just don't... I don't know how I feel about it now. I haven't seen it in years. Have you seen it recently?
I haven't seen it recently.
I'd have to see it again to see how I feel about this
movie. I haven't seen it in such a long time. But I remember...
I remember I loved it
seven
when I first saw it.
So I was like 15 yeah. when this came out.
I think I saw it like three times.
Yeah,
at the
I saw
movie
it
theater.
Three times.
I did too.
It was a big thing. Yeah. And like there's that whole.
You're like, you've only seen it twice. I've seen it five. And then you're like, oh, I got to go see it again.
There's that yeah. whole thing about how, what, like the James Cameron, I think he, in Side by Side, he tells that story about how the prints fell apart because of how many times they ran Titanic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Theaters, yeah. They, I was actually in a theater apart. When the print fell apart. And they were like, we're going to come in. We got technical difficulties up there. And we waited around for like a half hour. And then they came in and they were like, yeah, everybody, you're going to get a ticket to come see it back because the whole roll is on the floor in there. And there's no way we're going to put it in ever.
Yeah. the thing also is... this is a good date movie. Like,
it's a great
date
movie.
I was around 15, yeah, that age, and it'd be like, you could, and it was in theaters for so long that you could recycle the movie. Have you seen Titanic? We should go see it.
We should go, yeah, you need to go see it.
You need to see it.
Yes. With like, me.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, get her crying, you know? It was a good date movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen it forever. What I have seen more recently, though, is Titanic 2.
What?
Ooh. Is that the Asylum version?
Does that one have the subtitle of Electric Boogaloo? Because
I don't Reckoning. Remember what the subtitle is. But what's amazing?
This is where Jack gets even. And just start shooting the shit out of Titanic.
This time it's personal. You let me go.
Yeah. No, what's so okay? So not only is the movie called Titanic 2, but it's not a sequel to Titanic. It's about the boat, the Titanic. Two
that also sinks
because some genius decides to name their boat the Titanic 2, and
like
it's
a bad sequel.
It's clearly shot at the Queen Mary.
Wow! Oh, wow!
And very much green screened. And oh, what's the guy? The name of the dude who plays the senator in X-Men?
Oh, I know. Oh, I know this guy. It's funny. I was just, by the way, this is a little tidbit. There's a documentary on Showtime right now called That Guy.
Uh-huh.
And it's about character actors. And he, this actor that you're talking about, is
Bruce Davison
is in that movie. And it's documentary is all about character actors in movies. And it's really interesting.
Oh, I totally forgot that Bruce Davison plays the John Lithgow part in the TV series Harry and the Hendersons.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Yeah.
Anyway, so Bruce Davison, he's like he's a member of some watch group or some government group where they're investigating. Basically, he's playing Dennis Quaid from The Day After Tomorrow.
Okay.
So it's Titanic meets The Day After Tomorrow. So I guess it could be an honorable mention for this list.
Oh, yeah.
And it was on Netflix. Titanic meets The Day After... Wait, no. Yeah, The Day After Tomorrow. That's the one where everything's freezing.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, so like huge... I think it's just a mashup of everything. It's Titanic meets Day After Tomorrow, but because the glacier falls apart, it sends a rogue wave. So Titanic meets Day After Tomorrow meets Poseidon because the rogue wave is coming to knock the Titanic 2 over.
Wow.
Or maybe they're going to hit it. I don't know. It's all a big clusterfuck, but it's hilarious because it's got terrible CG, terrible visual effects. It's clearly the Queen Mary. The boat's never moving.
Wow.
And they've got like half as many extras as they really need to make it look like a big ship.
Nice.
And first off, the entire movie is predicated on the fact that some moron names his boat the Titanic 2.
Well, I would just name it T2.
T2.
There you go.
That'd be confusing, and James Cameron probably would sue him.
T2 Judgment Day.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what they should have called this movie. Just get confused, the movie watchers.
Right.
I thought this was Terminator 2. Yeah. No, it's Titanic 2, Judgment Day.
It's so much different than what I thought it was going to be.
Jack gets even.
And yes.
Jack's ancestors get even. Right. What you don't know is when she leaves the boat, she's pregnant.
Oh, shit. I totally... Okay, it's Shane Van Dyke.
There you go. DiCaprio impregnated her before he died, like Terminator.
Right. And she comes back. Yeah.
And his son grows up and takes revenge on the Titanic.
And she goes... and she's trying to take that boat to get back out to where the actual Titanic fell down. As I hit the mic. And she wants to swim down and get Jack's body because she realized she did let go.
Yeah. Okay. Like, she feels guilty.
She feels guilty, yeah. She can't live with the guilt. Yeah.
It's funny. They did a Mythbusters about how because everybody's like, fucking bitch. There was enough room in that little piece of wood for it.
My girlfriend says that. She's like, I would have made we could have made it happen.
Yeah. but all right. That is
your internet is killing me right now.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying. I swear. I know. I think Shane Van Dyke is in this, but he also wrote it. He might have directed it. Shane Van Dyke is Dick Van Dyke's grandson.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Who also did Paranormal Entity, the shitty Paranormal Activity ripoff, which is weird to say because I really don't think Paranormal Activity holds up either.
Shane Van Dyke wrote, directed it, and stars.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I did sit through this movie in its entirety.
Wow.
And it's amazingly bad.
Was it 3 hours like Titanic?
Fortunately, no. No. It's an hour and a half. It feels like 3 hours. And it has 1.8 stars on IMDb.
Nice.
As of right now.
It's not rated, though. Are there any boobies in it?
Probably. I feel like there might have been a Girls Gone Wild-esque moment in it at some
point.
Nice. I feel like Shane Van Dyke is good at just kind of squeezing boobies in there at some point.
I'm right with that.
But it's awkward because, like, in Paranormal Entity, the boobies he squeezes in are the girl, the one girl in the movie. So there's three people in four people in Paranormal Entity. And two of them, like three of them are family members. And you see his sister's boobs. It's really awkward.
Oh, awkward.
Like he goes like save her out of the bathtub and you see her boobs. Like it's really weird.
Yeah,
nudity.
Like flowers in the attic style.
That sounds like something you order in and out.
Flowers in the attic style. Can you get flowers in the attic style, please? They're like, whoa. All right.
With or without grilled onions.
Where are we at?
We're at my number one.
Yeah, yeah.
Titanic 2 was not my number one.
Oh, I thought it was.
It's an honorable mention now, though, right?
It's an honorable mention now. Okay, wait. I lost my list. Where'd it go? All right. So my recap. My number 5 was On the Beach. My number 4 was Volcano. My number 3 is Shivers. On IMDb, it just comes up as They Came From Within, but it's Shivers. My number 2 is The Day After. And my number 1, also from 1998, is Last Night.
What is that all about?
It is a Canadian movie about, like, the world is just ending. They never really explain why, but they just know that they've got 6 hours left.
Oh,
like, they've known for a while, and it's just coming to an end. And it's following all these different people on their last day on Earth, their last hours on Earth.
Wow.
It's by Don McKellar. It's a Canadian movie. I think I said that, but I'll say it again. Don McKellar directed it. He's in it. He's one of the main characters. Sandra Oh is in it. That guy, the dude, he's on like all the TV shows now. Sarah Pauly's in it briefly. What's this guy's name? David Cronenberg's in it also. Callum Keith Rennie, I think is his name. He shows up on Battlestar Galactica.
Mm.
Is that the guy? Yeah, he was in Californication as Lou Ashby. He shows up on Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
You see him all over the place and he's really good. He was in The Killing.
Oh, okay.
As the main character's fiance.
Mm-hmm.
He's really good. And it's just like all these little stories of these people's last day on Earth. And Don McKellar's just kind of finding his way and not really knowing what he wants to do. Sandra Oh's character is trying to get home to her husband because they have a pact where they're going to kill each other right before the world ends because they don't want to let the world kill them.
Hmm.
And she runs into Don McKellar's character and he's trying to help her get back to her husband and they're just not making it. Callum Keith Rennie's character is just having sex with, like, he's got a list of people he wants to have sex with. Like, he wants to have sex with a virgin. He wants to have sex with old people. He wants to have sex with, I think he has sex with a guy at one point. Like, he's just checking off his list of people he wants to have sex with.
Is it Sean Connery?
I don't think he gets to Sean Connery. I don't see how.
He should have.
That was a good one. And then, yeah, it's just by all these people dealing with the end of the world.
And what is it called again?
Last Night.
And what year was this?
98. Same year as Armageddon.
Ooh.
The anti-Armageddon. A much smaller picture.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a really touching, heartfelt end of the world movie. Kind of like another honorable mention of mine, which I just mentioned now. Very much in the same vein. Seeking a Friend for the End of the World.
Ooh.
Oh.
Which is also very good. And they end very similarly. Because they're both about the end of the world. So it's not really a spoiler alert. The world's going to end.
Right. Yeah.
But they both have a very touching, poignant, like, okay, well, it ended, but there's a nice sense of closure to both of them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And it's just great. And Sandra Oh and Don McKellar, he is really great. He was on one of my favorite TV shows, another Canadian thing, Slings and Arrows, about this Canadian Shakespeare festival.
Mm.
And he's really good. But yeah, it's a really fun, even for the end of the world, it's a fun movie, touching, sad, everything you want, all in one nice little package.
Wow.
Very cool. I wonder if that's on streaming or something.
It was at one point. I don't know if it still is, but I can let you borrow my copy of it.
Oh, you got a copy?
Yes.
Nice.
VHS and DVD.
Nice.
I like that. The option.
I know, right? In case you want to go old school.
Yeah. I want full screen VHS.
That's right.
All right. That was a good list. Any honorable mentions you guys want to throw out?
I think we have a bunch of honorable mentions.
Yeah. I got a ton that I would like to mention.
Throw it out there.
Mad Max.
Yeah.
Got to throw that out there. That's great. I was actually.
But it's also dystopian future too. I like that.
Right. Yeah. It was in my top five for a long time before it kind of got booted down, and even then, now I'm still thinking, oh well, I'm Legend. I should have switched it out. But so there's that. Where's the other one I was looking at? United 93. I liked that film.
Yeah. Yeah, we just mentioned it last week.
Oh, did you?
Very.
Yeah. That was airplanes. That's right.
There was a lot. I feel like a lot of my overlap came from the airplane list.
Yeah.
United 93's disaster, Airport 77.
Yeah.
Airplane 2.
Airplane 2. Yeah. And then let's see here. And then a little film that came out in 2010, actually. I really enjoyed it. It had its problems, but I still enjoyed the story altogether. The Crazies.
Yes, I did really like The Crazies.
Yeah.
And my roommate pointed out a lot of problems with it, but I'm like, I'm blocking those out.
Yeah.
I still, the first time I saw it, I loved it.
Same here.
Like, until someone else was pointing things out, I was like, I don't care.
Yeah, I saw a few things and I felt the same way. I was like, I'm going to ignore that.
Yeah.
For some reason, because I like it more than I want to concentrate
also,
on.
Also, I have seen the original and it's way better than I'm sorry if you love the original, but I love the remake way better than
really?
The original.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the original is much more political and a lot slower.
Yeah.
And a lot of, honestly, I love Romero's original Living Dead trilogy, which are also all three honorable mentions, Dawn and Day.
Yeah.
But anything other than those three movies aren't very good.
Mm.
The rest of his movies
Monkey
aren't
Shines?
That great. I don't think Monkey Shines is that great.
Monkey Shines.
I don't want to
really?
Crush your
dreams. You don't like Monkey? You know.
No, not a lot.
Not so much.
Not so much.
What else you got in your list?
What else? Let me go down. You know what? 2009. This is weird to say it this way. 2009 is 2012.
Yeah.
I went into that movie thinking I was going to hate it and that it was going to be so cliche. And it actually had more of a story than I thought it was going to. And I was like, oh, well, I kind of like this.
I think I would take 2012 over The Day After Tomorrow.
Really?
Yes, I agree with that. I totally would do that. And I really liked, at the time, I really liked The Day After Tomorrow.
I was never a big fan of Day After Tomorrow. It was so, that one was just so
cheesy.
It was like self-parodying to me. I'm like, are you trying to be, like, is this your... Where you're winking at us now because you're trying to be funny? Because some of the things that they're saying and the things that happen, I'm like, that was just, I was laughing.
Yeah.
I mean, and same thing with 2012, but it's just so much bigger. I'm like, I don't even care. Like at this point, I'm just, it's just fun and funny.
2012, I think I had a better ensemble cast.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
Which again, here we come.
What are you
the ensemble cast.
You have a better ensemble.
Right. You can buy the situation a little bit better with an ensemble cast that works well together. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah. It's funny. You had a really amazing writer. You had an amazing writer on 2012,
mm-hmm.
yet he couldn't help rewrite it or something. And it was the guy who wrote Station Agent.
Oh, okay.
And Win-Win, Thomas, I think his name's Thomas McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
But he played Amanda Peet's new husband.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He does a lot of stuff for Pixar. He's an amazing writer.
Oh, Chiwetel.
Wow. Yeah.
Chiwetel
Ejiofor.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I think the only other one that I would mention after that, bringing back Denzel Washington, The Book of Eli. I actually really like that film.
I do too. For some weird reason, I enjoy that movie.
It had its quirky, weird flow moments, but overall, I liked...
I enjoyed it enough to a point.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I saw where it was coming very early. I'm like, okay,
me too.
I know what it is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. See, I was, I'm always that guy that's like this. Oh, wow. I didn't see that coming.
And I was kind of okay with that. Like, I was okay with that part. But it comes down to the very, very end to me. Like that last shot of Mila Kunis going back out of the room. Like, that was stupid. You didn't need that.
Right.
What do you need to leave?
Yeah, well, yeah, one, why do you need to leave? Why do you need to take his clothes?
Right. Right. Yeah, you're right. You cut it off a little bit early on that.
You could have cut it like just like putting the book on the shelf. And then that literally bookending the movie.
Literally.
right. Symbolically.
But I like Gary Oldman. I like Tom Waits. I like the fight scenes. They're pretty well done. I like the Hughes brothers, which now they've separated. They're not doing those together anymore.
He's got that. What's that? Broken City?
Broken City, and then the other guy's got Motor City, I think.
They're
coming out with City? Yeah. Calling each other up. What do you think?
Yeah. What's your city?
Yeah, what's your city?
Okay. But yeah, I think they disbanded. I think they had trouble before Book of Eli, and then they tried to get back together for Book of Eli, and I think they just decided to go their separate ways. Oh. Yeah. But they did such good work. They did Dead Presidents, Menace to Society. What else did they do? American Pimp. Well, great American documentary. Pimp,
yes, but From Hell, not so
great. Oh, yeah. I guess so.
Yeah, I never saw that one.
Yeah. You don't need to.
It's not that great, and if you've read the comic, it's really bad.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I still like From Hell better than The Raven.
So. Well, yeah, but that's...
I don't know.
No here, no there.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I'd rather you poke me in my right eye than my left eye.
Yeah. What else do you have on your list?
Let's see here. Oh, you know what? I put Mars Attacks. That was in my top five for a long time.
Yeah.
I really wanted that to be in my top five, actually.
Awesome ensemble cast.
Again, yeah. Great.
Where they're just not afraid to kill everybody.
Yeah.
Twists and turns and fun.
Wait, so what year is that? 98? 97?
That one is 96.
96.
Yeah.
So 13. I was very upset when Michael J. Fox died. I was like, whoa. You don't kill Michael J. Fox.
Yeah, what is that all
about?
That
messed with me, but I still loved the movie. Yeah. I loved how just quirky and weird and bizarre it was.
Jack Nicholson's character. So, right? He played more than one.
Yeah, he did.
Lucas Haas.
Yes.
Yeah. Natalie Portman as the president's daughter. Very young.
Oh,
Natalie
my God.
Portman.
That's right.
And then Jim Brown as the boxer.
Pierce Brosnan.
Yes.
Yeah, Pierce Brosnan and Sarah Jessica Parker's heads.
Yeah.
Who else? Tom Jones.
Oh, Tom Jones. That's right.
Some fine acting.
Yeah.
But who? Danny DeVito. Was good.
Oh, yeah.
But who was the? I'm trying to remember who. There was like the main. Was it Rod Steiger?
Yeah.
He was the general.
Oop, yep.
Sorry, that was me. Bad call. Sorry.
And then
Jack Black.
Jack Black. Oh, that's right. He played one of the soldiers.
Oh my God! I totally forgot that. Yeah.
What else is on your list, Vito?
Running down. I had Battle Los Angeles.
I saw a really early cut of it that was really good. It was like Black Hawk Down, more like Black Hawk Down than it was Independence Day. Then they released it and it was fucking shitty.
Well, I liked the last like 45 minutes of the movie when they're trying to get the civilians out and like the whole bridge scene where they're hunkered down. That had a real Black Hawk Down feel to it to me. Yeah. And I really like that. And I think it flowed through a little bit past that moment. And it kind of fizzled a little bit at the end. But I liked the whole pulling together to beat, to win type of feel to it. So
I haven't seen it. I've been meaning to.
Oh.
But
spoiler.
I mean, there's no, I'm
there's no need to see it.
Really?
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah.
But I mean, I tried to watch Skyline, so it can't be as bad as that.
I saw Skyline. Better than Skyline.
That movie starts and I just want to punch someone in the face.
They were suing Skyline because they stole some effects.
Oh, really?
Because they're called the Spirig Brothers. They do a lot of special effects. They did Predator versus Alien Requiem.
Oh, okay.
Then there's CGI guys.
Right.
They worked on Battle of Los Angeles.
Okay.
They're doing the special effects for that.
Yeah.
And then they went to the direct Skyline and stole some of the CGI shots.
Oh. Yeah. There's some suing involved.
Yeah. There's some lawsuits there.
Let's see here. What else was on my list? Going down quickly. 1986. Maximum Overdrive.
Yes.
Yeah. I love that film.
Such a silly movie, but I love it.
Yeah.
I think we talked about like maybe horror movies or bad movies we love or something.
Yeah.
But just any movie that has a Coke machine taking out a Little League team.
Yeah.
Why not?
Can't go wrong.
Yeah. It's good. It's like B movies at its best.
It was Harry Dean Stanton.
Emilio
Estevez.
Emilio.
What's your
Emilio
name? Estevez. The voice of Lisa Simpson.
Yeah.
Whose name I always forget. But she's
Laura
Early.
No. Laura Harrington.
No.
No, that's not her.
Yearly? No. Yearly Smith?
Yearly Smith.
What are some of your honorable mentions, Adam?
Okay, let's see. I feel like I've been off mic half the show. Where am I? Where am I listening?
I'll throw one of mine real quick. Okay. The Perfect Storm.
Oh, Perfect Storm. Uh-huh.
I think we mentioned the other Armageddon movie with Favreau and Morgan Freeman.
Deep Impact. We mentioned it briefly, yeah.
Yeah. And Tower Inferno. That's it.
Okay. I love how cheesy Towering Inferno is.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's just a ridiculous movie.
Yeah.
Richard Chamberlain just being a dick.
Right.
Trying to get laid.
And then again, everybody just dying left and right. It's like, oh, dude, you just killed Robert Wagner? You know, really?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He was a good guy, and you let Richard... such a silly movie, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Just the ending. Like, how should we build them? Like, when he asks him, asks him how they should build the buildings. I enjoyed it, but I expected a little bit better from a movie who the two leads are Steve McQueen and Paul Newman.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay, so I had the remake on my remakes list, but 1956 Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then another Cronenberg movie that deals with pseudo-sexual aliens from 2 years later, Rabid. Which actually stars Marilyn Chambers.
Oh,
she's in a motorcycle accident, and they do a skin graft that somehow mutates and turns into this another weird parasitic alien type thing causes a zombie apocalypse. But no sex zombies, just a zombie. Apocalypse.
Not interested in watching.
Yeah, that's I'm done with that. Right?
It's it's interesting. Not as good as Shivers, but interesting. Some of All Fears.
Yeah.
Blown up the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And then I've used it before, but I love it anyway. So I got to mention The Mist.
Oh, yep. The Mist.
I used the crazies. 28 Days Later, I said any zombie movie, any of the first three zombie movies by George Romero.
Yes.
And I saw it on a couple of other lists, and I do think of this movie, but the disaster doesn't really spread out very far in this movie, but 1971's The Andromeda Strain.
Which
is just a messed up movie going back to rewatch it.
It is.
Where like there's a scene in the movie where they're trying to test this virus. And they release a mouse. They release the virus into within the movie. The premise is that they're releasing the virus into the air with this mouse, and the mouse or the dog or some animal dies from it. But when you listen to the commentary and figure out how they really did it, it's so fucked up and disturbing. Is they had sucked all the air out of this room, and they had left air in the mouse's cage or whatever. And so when they open the cage, all the air goes away quickly, and so the mouse is you're watching a mouse asphyxiate, or an animal asphyxiate.
Oh, wow.
And it's really disturbing.
Wow.
So if you want to see something disturbing, go watch The Andromeda Strain.
That's shocking to me that
they got away with
that. I
think
it's pre-Humane Society.
I'm sure they're around, but they could probably just be like, oh, we're MGM. We're going to keep you guys in the corner. Don't worry about it. The animal's going to be fine.
Yeah. We'll still put up that nothing was harmed.
Yeah, nothing was harmed. It doesn't die. It just goes to sleep for a second.
Yeah.
Pop some oxygen in there. Get it breathing again.
It's really... Wow. But it's so much more disturbing when you know that that's what's happening. Like, oh, shit, that's messed up.
Wow. Can't just drug it? Give it a little.
So it gets all drowsy.
Yeah, no, because you
I can't have 20 of them and just drug them a little bit.
Yeah, no, they wanted to see like the actual, like, oh, it's fine, and then it dies.
Wow.
Wow.
This is what I had to do with pre-CG.
I know.
And I think everything else we've talked about.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was a tough list to make.
Yeah.
Especially as soon as we started recording.
Yeah, I know.
I think you did an outstanding job.
Thank you.
You brought it with some sad movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, a little business. If you're going to buy something off Amazon, do it through our link. Go to our website, thefilmpodcast.com. Click on the Amazon link and go about your holiday shopping. And then we'll get a couple shekels on our face. And everyone wins. It's a win-win-win situation. Three wins. You win, Amazon wins, and we do too. I'm the customer. You know? What else? We got, again, the new website, thefilmpodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter, at thefilmpodcast. Follow me on Twitter, at Ricardo Ultreras. That's Ricardo, Ultreras.
I'm at an Adam Scott, @_AdamScott.
I'm at Vito, Vito, _Viscuso, Viscuso.
There you go.
I know.
Vito Viscuso is Jack Reacher. but yeah, thanks for coming in, Vito.
Thank you for inviting me. This was great.
It was
a lot of fun, yeah.
And until next time, have a good day. Have a good week, good morning, good afternoon, and good night.